Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Well, congratulations to Alabama. They beat Notre Dame last night, 42-14. Let me tell you how bad it was. Today, the Pope suggested Notre Dame might want to be a Lutheran college.
And Ray, you told us last night that you believe that you guys could break the Broncos' 11-game winning streak. What allowed you to believe you could do so?
God is amazing. And when you believe in him, man believes in the possible, God believes in the impossible.
I deeply repent, and I'm heartily sorry. Bah! I repent in a half-assed way at best.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
Oh, let me tell you, people have built careers. They have sold books. They maintain websites. There is an industry out there. There's no doubt about it. And just when you think it's about to go away, it resurges itself again. An industry built around answering the question for you, based upon U.S. history and Bible passages together, answering the question, is the United States a Christian nation? Now, most of the books sell because they answer that in the affirmative. Most of the websites thrive because they say, of course, the United States is a Christian nation. Let me show you the Bible passages. Let me show you all the documents from U.S. history. Most of the personalities gain the notoriety that they do because they're willing to tell you at length how it is that the United States is a Christian nation. Here's a good question. Why do we even want an answer to that question? Why do we ask that question? Joining us for the first half hour of this second hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday, January the 21st, Dr. Larry Rasch. We're going to answer that question, is the United States a Christian nation? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We are coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit later in this hour, Dr. Burnell Eckert will join us. He has written an article, a great article in Touchstone Magazine, titled Nursery Crimes, talking about abortion and infanticide and responding and exposing some of the arguments being made that are not only for now abortion legally, but for infanticide legally. That'll be the second half hour of Issues Etc. Dr. Larry Rast is president and professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he made a presentation at the recent Unwrapped conference titled, Is America a Christian Nation? Larry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be here with you.
Okay, it's a good question, is the United States a Christian nation? But why do we want an answer to that question?
Yeah, you're right. It is a good question. It's a perfectly legitimate question because Christianity has been part and parcel of the American experience from the beginning. But you're also right. You know, why? Why pose this question? What are you after? And when I gave this presentation at Unwrapped a few weeks ago at the college ministry gathering that was held in St. Louis, a lot of the students went away a little bit angry at me because I wouldn't answer it up or down, yes or no. I rather kind of step back and ask this very point. Why are you asking this? Why are you concerned with the answer you're getting? And it was interesting. I actually made them take a test first thing and raise their hands of who thought yes and who thought no. And I had a few yeses and a few nos and a whole lot of abstentions, which was really kind of interesting.
The cautious college students, yes.
You got it. Just tell me what you think the answer is, Prof, and then I'll give it to you on the test. But in all seriousness, I said, you know, when people make the claim, particularly the claim that America is a Christian nation, that the United States does have a distinctively Christian character to it, I think they do so out of a couple of perspectives. One is looking at the current culture, there's a sense of loss, that we're losing something in terms of who we are, that the moral decline, you know, the fact that, as you'll be talking to Pastor Eckert here in the near future about the possibility, even the possibility of infanticide being a reality here in the United States, that just can't be. So there's a real profound distress on the part of a lot of people that we've lost something that we've had. And then secondly, kind of the flip side of that coin would be the sense that if we could go back to the time when we were decidedly and clearly Christian, then we could correct these problems. There's an idea that the moral decay that we're experiencing now can be corrected. There's a sense that we can be the nation that God wants us to be, that we can achieve all of the things that God intends for us to achieve if we could go back to those fundamental Christian principles that characterized the U.S. at its founding.
So that's the need to have an answer to the question. And so I would suspect that ever since Christians, and this probably goes farther back than I suspect, ever since Christians got that nagging sense that something's going wrong with our country, we're losing our moorings morally, we're straying from a Judeo-Christian ethic, whatever that may be, that they were asking and answering this question.
Right.
How far back, as far as you can tell, does the answer yes go? That is, well, of course it is a Christian nation.
Well, you can go back even to the Puritans who established the Massachusetts Bay Colony in the 1628, to be exact. And one of the things, elements of their identity was that they had this particular mission in the world to show how the church really could be. They were Puritans because they were seeking to purify the Church of England. And one of the great aspects of the Puritan experiment here in what became the United States back then, the Massachusetts Bay Colony, was to show England the fulfilled Reformation, that we finally got it done. You know, the Church of England had gotten so far but hadn't completed the task. Now here in America, we will provide, if you will, the living example of what the church truly, really can be. And at that point, it will be so impressive, it will be so moving, that in fact we'll be able to go back to England and transform England into what God intended England to be at that point in time. So in a sense, the American experiment was tangential to the primary focus of the endeavor, which was, in other words, to fix the Church of England. That said, however, within a few years, the New England Puritans began to experience challenges to what they like to call the New England Way. By the 1660s, there had emerged a particular sermon type called the Jeremiad, taking its cue from, obviously, the prophet Jeremiah, that said, "The people of New England have lost their way. We betrayed the trust that God has given to us. We've fallen from the path that he's laid before us. And until we return to the Lord's way, we will not be blessed." So already, 1660, you're hearing that kind of, we have a special mission, but we've lost that mission. And in order to become what God wants us to be, we have to reclaim that mission, particularly in terms of following the laws that the Lord has laid before us.
Okay, I'm so gratified to hear that answer, because you know often the argument is advanced using the Puritans, kind of as pre-USA founders. You know, this is before the Declaration of Independence. This is before the official founding documents. They'll say, "Look, the original intent of the inhabitants of the that would then become the colonies was to have a Christian nation." So if that's their original intent, let's abide by it. And that would mean that their intent should carry through all the stages of the country's development. Mm-hmm. How should we respond to that? You know, the Puritans wanted this and claimed this land for God.
Yeah, and that breaks down pretty quickly when you look at the rest of the country. Puritan New England was one part of what became later the United States. You also had the middle colonies, where you had really a rather remarkable form of at least Christian diversity in the 17th and into the 18th centuries. A lot of different denominations that were trying to find a way to live together. And even groups that were pushing the edge, you know, who were moving beyond the classic reformational Christian character, Quakers and the like, Friends, as they were called, or down into the Chesapeake area and the Deep South, Anglican establishments. So, in other words, there were a lot of Christian people, there were a lot of established churches, but there wasn't just one, and there wasn't a simple dominating vision of what Christianity in America should be like. In fact, it was out of this mix, this melting pot of religions, you might say, or confessions, competing confessions, that you have emerged the idea of religious pluralism, that all of these should have their own voice and are legitimate in their own right in terms of what can be put forward. So you might say, in other words, that the mix of different Christian perspectives lays the groundwork, ultimately, for a form of religious pluralism like we experience today, where you have every religion under the sun represented, not just varieties of Christian belief.
With only about 30 seconds here, had the Puritans been able to shape the religious philosophy of the United States to their will, had they gotten what they really wanted on a grand scale in the United States, would people like us, Lutherans or Roman Catholics, would they have enjoyed religious freedom?
No, they would not. In fact, the established church in New England was extremely narrow and restrictive in terms of what it would allow for theologically, which was a high form of Calvinism, double predestinarian Calvinism, and in practice, what you would do, and went so far as to banish people who held different viewpoints, whether they were Quakers. There were some Quaker executions in the 1600s, and banishment of people who held to a more gospel-oriented understanding of salvation by grace through faith. So there was a strong legalism that was attached to the Puritan Calvinists as well.
Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. We're answering the question, is the United States a Christian nation? On this Monday, January the 21st, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, when we come back 10 more minutes with him. Then we'll take up the subject of abortion and infanticide with Dr. Burnell Eckert.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, WittenbergAcademy.org, to find out more.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues, Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're asking and answering the question, is the United States a Christian nation? Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. He's president and professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Very briefly, before we go on here, what's going on at Concordia Theological Seminary?
Well, it's an exciting time of the year for us. This week is our annual symposium week. In fact, we start tomorrow with our 28th annual exegetical theology symposium titled Love and Marriage, Does the Bible Still Mean What It Says? And then on Wednesday following that, we pick up with the 36th annual symposium on the Lutheran Confession, which will treat the topic Morality and Ethics in the Church and in the Public Square, the Lutheran Challenge. So this is a big week. We have hundreds of people on campus for this symposium. It's a great time to be at the seminary, even though they're predicting that the weather's going to be a little bit cold. But, hey, it's January, and what better place to be in January than Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana?
Well, I've spent some Januaries up there, and I'll tell you, while it is austere, it is beautiful. It's a beautiful austerity. As well, folks, you'll find a link to Concordia Theological Seminary at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And that I will say, haven't been in a number of years, but that symposium is really a homecoming, even for guys who didn't graduate from there like me. And it's a great experience. It's just kind of like drinking out of a fire hose. Theologically.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Okay, let's talk about the documents then, because what comprises a nation legally are its founding documents. In our case, we will say the U.S. Constitution, but of course we will also grandfather in, for the sake of argument, the Declaration of Independence. What do they say that would speak against an affirmative answer to, is the United States a Christian nation?
That's a great question. Again, this is one along the lines of which that I posed to the college students just a few weeks ago. I put it in this form. When you're trying to answer this question, either affirmatively or negatively, what's necessary? What do you use as your basis for defining the answer that you give? Yes, America is a Christian nation. No, America is a Christian nation. Do you need explicit references in the foundational documents of the nation to establish the religious character of the enterprise? And if that's the case, then when you look at either the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, you don't really have uniquely orthodox Christian expressions in either of those pieces. You have more generic references to the deity, an affirmation that indeed there is a God, but not really who that God is. And I think that's where you begin to unpack this question a little bit, particularly in terms of the biblical Christian witness, that is, God as triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, is truly God and truly man. You'll search in vain in the foundational documents for that kind of explicit biblical Christian affirmation.
So let's talk about the two-edged sword that has been this affirmative answer to the, is the United States a Christian nation, in the course of what we'll call kind of United States religious life over the course of its history, which is your bailiwick. It's been a two-edged sword. It has been both a damper on evangelism. Hey, you're an American, you must be a Christian. It's also been fuel to a certain kind of evangelism, revivalism in particular. Right. To what degree did revivalism ride the wave of the Christian America myth?
Yeah, oh, that's good. Good stuff. In fact, there's a to me, a rather profound irony in that latter portion of your question. That is, how did revivalism and this notion of a Christian nation intersect? What drove revivalism in the first place, interestingly enough, was the conviction that America was not a Christian nation, but that it should be. So, in other words, when the Great Revival broke out, beginning in the first part of the 1800s, the wonderful Cambridge story in Kentucky in 1801, and everything else that goes along with that, that was occurring in a portion of the United States that had the lowest per capita percentage of people actively involved in a church and formally expressing Christian membership in a particular local congregation. So in other words, this was the part of the country, Kentucky, Tennessee as well, to a lesser degree, where you had the least amount of Christians, the fewest. And so what the revivalists were doing was saying, hey, look, here's an example of how we can Christianize America. In other words, they didn't say, we're already there. They said, this is where we need to get. Now, once they got rolling in terms of the effort, and it once it took off after 1801, it was like a locomotive picking up steam, continuing on easily through about the year 1860, so about a 60-year period where you just have revival after revival after revival. Once it picked up steam, there was an enormous increase in the number of people who were participating in local congregations, who were affirming formal church membership and the like, and the expansion of a whole series of denominations, most especially the Methodist Church, goes from being a non-entity in American Christianity in 1780 to being among the largest by 1820, and then being the largest Protestant church here in America, the largest church in period in America by 1860. So I think you probably see that irony there, where the people who are affirming that the United States is not a Christian nation are the ones who then go forward and try to Christianize it. Now, the next question is, did they ever achieve that sufficiently? And here, the question I like to pose is simply this: at what point do you have a sufficient number of people who are actively engaged in their local congregation in the church and who declare formal church membership? What's the bar, if you will, that you have to get over in order for the nation to be considered Christian? Is it 100%? If that's the case, then America is not, has not, never will be a Christian nation in any sense. So do you drop it down to 90? Do you drop it down to 80, 70, 60, you know, wherever you put that bar? At what point can you say we have enough people who are actively involved and formally expressing church membership? Then, of course, you know what the next question coming is. At what point do you say a person is truly actively engaged in the church? Is it attendance at church every week? 3 out of 4 Sundays a month? 2 out of 4? 1 out of 4? Easter and Christmas? What's the level here? And you begin to see the problem that this poses. At no point, in other words, have you had a majority of Americans on any given Sunday participating in Christian church activities. It just isn't the case. Now, then does that mean America isn't a Christian nation? If so, what have you proven? If it's not the case, what have you proven there either? It kind of leaves you stripped down to the basic question, what are you trying to do by means of answering this question?
Two quick final questions. To what degree has the myth of the U.S. as a Christian nation fed from the confusion of Orthodox Christianity with a general Christian-ish morality?
Yeah. That's very well put. Effectively, what you begin to see happen, interestingly enough, again, during the Great Revival period, towards the end of it, you have a secularization of the idea of America as a Redeemer nation. That is, it becomes a political endeavor more than a spiritual endeavor. A political endeavor that is accompanied by a kind of agreed-upon morality. So, in other words, I'll try and make my point clearly at this point. You begin to express your religion in more civil terms by virtue of your voting practices and the way that you live, and you separate that from any kind of specific biblical Christian Orthodox confession. In other words, you're answering the question, do you need to be a Christian in order to be a moral person in the negative? No, you can be a moral person without being a Christian, and you can carry out your morality specifically in political terms. I think that's pretty well where we find ourselves today.
Finally, then, is the United States a new Jerusalem? What's the best answer to that question?
No. How's that for a short one? There is a long history of seeing the United States, or even the American colonies, the American North American continent, as something of a virgin land, a new Eden, or a new Israel. In fact, there's imagery of the folks, you know, whether they're pilgrims in 1620 or Puritans later in the 1620s, coming across on their boats and seeing that crossing being made in terms of the people of Israel passing over the Jordan into the Promised Land, that Redeemer nation notion that I mentioned before. The that imagery of the United States as a new Jerusalem, as a new Israel, as the culmination of God's purposes in this world proves to be very, very strong and very, very lasting within American Christianity. You'll hear it regularly today. Still, if you turn on the TV preachers and they're working through their dispensations, always it seems with American TV preachers, the New Jerusalem will find itself realized here, at least in some way, in the United States or through United States activities. What that does, my concern about that perspective, is that it draws away from the center of the faith, the center of the biblical witness, which is, of course, Christ, and his kingdom, which is not of this world, but rather is a kingdom that is established by virtue of his perfect life, suffering, and death on the cross, and affirmed then in his glorious resurrection and ascension. This is Christ is the new kingdom. Christ is the kingdom of God realized in power in our midst through weakness by suffering, death, and then rising again. When you trade out Christ for a nation, whatever nation it may be, whether it was England in the early 17th century, whether it's the United States in the 19th century, whatever the case may be, when you trade out Christ for a political entity, you've moved away from the center of the faith, the focus of the faith, namely Christ and Christ alone.
Dr. Larry Rast is president and professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Made a presentation at a recent Unwrapped conference titled, Is America a Christian Nation? Larry, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Todd. Great chatting with you always.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time on a very serious subject, serious indeed, especially, and I think especially on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a man who stood adamantly against abortion. We're going to talk about abortion and infanticide, the euphemisms and the advance of the argument with Dr. Burnell Eckert. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, another half hour of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.